Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening. In my Jumu'ah session, I had mentioned how important loyalty is. Your loyalty with Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is so important that Allah has made it the first pillar of Islam. Your shahadat is an allegiance, an oath that you are taking, that you are going to be 100% loyal to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is this loyalty generation after generation, mashallah, that you see, Islam has been preserved, maintained, and alhamdulillah, we have everything in its pristine purity. And that is why Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that make sure that you latch onto my sunnah with your teeth, your nawajiz at the back. See, your teeth, the two, the upper layer and the lower layer. When you grip it. And so that's a very strong grip. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that there will be so much fitna that people will be minced. And people will be lost. And the only way to survive is by the nur and the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So loyalty and sincerity is very, very important. Very important. You can trust your children, and it is expected that you can trust your children. Why? If you can't trust your children, who else can you trust? It is expected from them to be loyal to their parents. The father is sitting in the majlis and the nikah is taking place with the girl. And he is the wali of the girl, the father. But the girl is not present. And there is nikah that is being performed. And instead of asking the girl, the imam is asking the father. And this is called loyalty in Islam, trust. So trust and loyalty in Islam is very, very important. Subhanallah. Very, very important. And your loyalty should be with Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we learn from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if you go to any country, three groups of people are very important to be in that country. Number one, the scholar, ulama. If you are living in any city, any country, and there are a lot of scholars, it is a ni'mah, it is a blessing. Because the ulama are people who are going to guide this ummah in the right direction. Number two, you also need a businessman, a tajir in any city, any country. Because without business, without money, nothing works. For your economy to be stable, it is important that you have businesses that are thriving. People that are successful, businessmen. So in any community, when you have big tujjar, alhamdulillah, that is also a very good place to live in. Because you have, this is a sign that there is prosperity, there is tijarat, there is harkat, and the economy may be stable. And the third category of a person which is very important in any city, country, is the soldier, the mujahid. The soldier, the mujahid, or your army, is very important to protect your borders, to protect the sovereignty of that country. In case there's an attack from the enemy, then you have an army that is going to be there to protect the country and protect that land. So that is why three groups of people are very, very important in any region. One is a scholar, ulama. Number two, you need also businessman. Tijarat, very important. It is so important that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when my follower does business, works hard to earn money, and is thinking of earning money, alhamdulillah, in that way, then he will be standing with me on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine he's doing tijarat, and Allah's Nabi is saying that he is going to be with me. This is in the hadith. And then the mujahid, so important. But subhanallah, when you look at the hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, it is this category will be questioned the first. This category will be questioned the first. Allahu Akbar. We talk about loyalty, we talk about sincerity, how important it is to be a sincere person. That any action that you do, is it for fame? Is it for showing off? Is it for something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah save the scholars of this ummah. An alim will stand up, a scholar will stand up, and he will be questioned that what did you do? And he will say, Bari Ta'ala, this is the khidmat I did, this is what I did, this is what I did, this is what I did. Allah will say, no, you did it for your own name and for your own fame and to show off, and you didn't do it for the pleasure of Allah. Allah save us. And they will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. No ikhlas, sincerity, loyalty. Then Allah will call the mujahid, a soldier. And he might say, oh Bari Ta'ala, you know, I died in Palestine. I died in Chechnya. I died in India, in the borders fighting. I gave my whole body in the path of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, no, you died, you gave your body, but it was not for me. It was for your country. It was for your country. You did it for your flag. You did it for your country, not for me. That is why every mujahid is trained when he is in the path of Allah to fight the enemies, that your maqsad is a'la'i kalimatullah. What is it? To elevate the name of Allah. Very, very important. You are not a mujahid until you are doing it only for. So the entire army has to be thinking this way. I'm not fighting for Pakistan. Pakistan, no. I'm not fighting for Palestine. I am doing it for Haqq. I'm doing it for Haqq, the truth. My maqsad is to please Allah and to remove zulm, tyranny. That is the maqsad. That is to please Allah. So a person has to be very precise in his intention. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Then the third man who will be called, again, that very important individual, the people who are running the economy of a country, the people who are very, very wealthy. Allah will say, ha, mashallah, what did you do? Allah Pak, I gave money to that madrasa. With my money I built a masjid. I gave money to that charity, to this charity, to that charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, you did. But you did not give it for the pleasure of Allah. You gave it so people call you something that is very charitable. You gave it so people actually see you in that category, that this man, you know, is very, very generous, and you did it to show people. Allah save us. Amen. Alhamdulillah, the majority of the Muslims are not like that. Alhamdulillah. Even the Muslim tujar, the Muslim mujahid, and even the Muslim ulama are not like that. Inshallah. And Allah save us. Amen. It's an opportunity for us to rectify our intention. So in Jumu'ah, we had mentioned that loyalty to Allah and His Rasul is very, very important. Now when we as Muslims live in the UK, in this country, and what is the Muslim population? I can't remember. 8 million. Huh? In England. How many Muslims? 3.5. About 3.5 million, maybe. Huh? Muslims. 3.5 million. Chalo, 3.5 million Muslims. Ikhtilaf ho gaya bhai. Imam Abu Hanifa is saying something, Imam Shafi is saying something, bhai. But don't worry about it. It's not supposed to be, you know, that much of an issue. Roughly. Now, we are definitely a minority. What are we? Definitely a minority. The challenges upon the Ummah when my forefathers and your forefathers and many of you by birth are here, settled in this country, what was their vision and why did we come in this country? And so if we go on to this topic, it will be a very long discussion, and I don't want to go into that topic. But in short, if you live in a country in which you are a minority, and you are not allowed to practice your deen freely, you are not allowed to practice your deen freely, then it becomes haram for you to stay in that country. It becomes haram for you to stay in that. Say for an example, you cannot perform your namaz and, you know, some of the very important, your fara'is and your wajibat, which are essential for you. And you are denied and you can't practice. You see, some people say, oh, Mauli Sahab, I'm working, but I can't pray Juma. So is that an excuse? You're working, you can't pray Juma?
No.
Subhanallah, what are you, how loyal are you to Allah and His Rasul that you are working and not praying Jumu'ah? Asi nokri ko laat maro. Asi nokri ko kya karo, laat maro. So you have to be loyal to Allah and His Rasul in any country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this earth is vast, mashallah, very huge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors. But alhamdulillah, in this country that is not the case. We have the complete freedom to practice our deen, and we pray that Allah keep it that way. And Allah opened the doors also in countries like France and many European countries where you have this far-right movement that is taking root and making life very difficult for especially the Muslim communities. What is our fundamental duty when we are a minority? The risk factor is far greater. When we slowly start to adopt and take in different cultures, and because of the different communities that are there, their values come into our values and we become confused and we don't know what is right and what is wrong. And we slowly begin to think that actually we live in this country and their values are our values. Especially when it comes to religious matters or things that are of a sinful nature. Anything that is of a religious background or a sinful nature. And if you start merging with that system, then slowly, slowly, slowly what will happen? You will forget who you really are. You will forget who you are. So much so that you might even take pride when people start calling you Tom, John. How are you? John, you okay? Call me Harry. Not Dirty Harry. Harry. Huh? So you start changing your name. And we take this to be minor. You know, say, my nickname. What is it? وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Allah is saying, what kind of nicknames are you keeping? These nicknames, kufriya nicknames, are totally wrong. You can't keep names like that. That is why even the very first haq of a father, when the father came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an and said, this is my son, he is disobedient to me. I want all the boys that are sitting at the back to listen to me. I want everyone at the back also to please listen to me. Yeah? Meri baat sun rahe na? Everyone listen. So he said that he is disobedient to me. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala got angry. Call him. The boy was a smart boy. So he said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, of course, you know, you think I am disobedient. But why am I disobedient to my father? Why am I disobedient? Did he give me an opportunity for the right education? My father has not taught me Islam. And on top of that, my father has not given me a proper Islamic name. So the first haq of a Muslim father to the child is to give him a proper Muslim name. Why? Because Islam does not see things in short-term vision, long-term vision, for generations to come, that your good name is your survival in the state of Iman. Your good name is your survival in the state of Iman. And Sahaba and our pious predecessors were so serious on this matter of names that they used to keep, you know, if they had 7, 8 children, 3 of them were named Muhammad. Who does that today? Brothers, do you understand what I'm saying? You have 6 boys, for an example. From the 6 boys, 3 are named Muhammad. So when the father says Muhammad, all 3 come running. And then the father has to decide, no, I was talking about you. So how would the father know? Then, you know, there was this understanding, no, Muhammad Akbar, the elder one. No, Muhammad Asghar, small one. Muhammad, the small one, younger one. No, middle one, Muhammad Awsat. Muhammad Awsat. Ajib. It was so serious. In fact, there has been a pattern that on the day of Qiyamah, our names will be Muhammad, the son of Ahmed, the son of Muhammad, the son of Ahmed, the son of Muhammad, the son of Ahmed, the son of Muhammad, the son of Ahmed, and this goes on. Why? It's all about loyalty. It's not about extremism. Because the fitna will be at such a high level, intense, that you have to make sure. You see, when it's very, very cold. So when it's very, very cold, you'll make sure that you're wearing a coat, maybe your nice bubble hat or a scarf and your gloves, and you're going out somewhere. You are prepared for the weather. You are prepared for the weather. Islam prepares you for everything. Islam prepares you for everything. There's no compromise. So he said, my father has not even given me a good name. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and got very angry. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that our duty when we are living in a foreign country, there is a must, at least 3 levels we have to counter. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, the young child from a very young age, instill in him the love of Allah and his Rasul. The love for Allah and his Rasul. And instill in him the love of the Quran. And here the ulama say love of the Quran means that you live in a country in which there is a proper Islamic education system. There is a proper Islamic education system. Making sure that everything, your foundation is very, very strong. So when you live in a country in which you are a minority, remember, in a country in which the majority is of kufr, then the baggage of kufr will surely affect us. The baggage of kufr is going to affect us. That is why every day we have to be energizing our iman. Main bar bar kehta hu na ki baitho majlis mein baitho. Why? Because of this, energizing the iman is so important. If you don't energize your iman, then what will happen, bichara? Mo Saleh. You guys don't know him, but I will tell you who he is. Pious people, bichare. Hafiz Sulaiman. They don't know who is Mo Saleh. You know Mo Saleh? Yeah, he knows, at least he knows. Who is Mo Saleh? Mo Saleh, football player. Eh? He plays for Liverpool. Yeah, I hope you don't support Liverpool. No, you don't support Liverpool. Wo jab hum chote the na, aaye yahan is country mein Africa se, so they would ask me, you know, which team do you support? I said, which team should I support? I don't know. So where I went, they say, oh, we all support Liverpool, you have to support Liverpool too. I said, chalo yaar, join them. So mujhe bhi inhone wo Kenny Dalglish ki tarah bana diya. Samjhe? So anyway, that is going back 1066. A lot of things have changed by then, isn't it? Abid, things change. Alhamdulillah, you know. But it's important that, you know, we talk about these things. Because there's always this evolution. Oh, evolution nahi bolna chahiye. You know, this kind of slow process that happens in a person's life. Alhamdulillah, you know, he's not born an angel. Who's born an angel? A farishta koi madar zaad wali to nahi paida hota hai na koi. Wo to illa mashallah, you know, someone who Allah chooses is different. But you know, people go through that cleansing process. Alhamdulillah, we all go through this. Be it a Maulvi, be it anybody, they are not angels. So anyway, what was I saying? Bichara Mo Salah. When you are not opening up a source where you can be Islamically educated. Most of the people, we read the Kalima, we love Allah and His Rasul, we love the Quran, but then because we really don't know the importance of loyalty, so there was one Mufti Saab giving a lecture, and he says, you know, somebody sent me a video. And that was an ajeeb video. It was a video of a lady from Maghrib. From Maghrib. He is assuming she's from Maghrib. Wallahu alam. Because she is, mashallah, doing tawaf of the Kaaba and doing labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, and whatever tasbihat she's playing. And then there is this live, you know, video. Nowadays, you know how it is with social media, things are so fast. And so, as she is doing tawaf of the Kaaba, in the background there is Kaaba, and then she is saying to the people there, you know, I'm here, alhamdulillah, in Makkah Mukarramah, and I also wish Merry Christmas to everyone in the world. Arey bhai, ye kya hua? Ye kya hua? What confusion are we in? What confusion? You see, we are now living in a time that people are very much confused. Why are you confused? Because we don't take the Islamic majalis, sitting in the company of the ulama, important. It's like saying, I am ill, but I won't go to the doctor. I am ill, but I won't go to the doctor. Main itna achha hu, I won't go to the doctor. But actually, you know, when it comes to being ill, people love their body and surviving in this dunya. They all run to the doctor. But they don't care for the dead soul, which is more important. And so, these are the majalis. And so, most of these celebrities and actors and famous people, they hardly get an opportunity to listen to what is right and what is wrong. So most of the time people are making the wrong decision. Why? Because we are not opening our ears to what Islam is telling us. We just know the basics. I am a Muslim. My father is a Muslim. My mother is a Muslim. I have to pray Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah. You know, and that is it. Just the basics. But that, you know, that burning, diehard love of Iman and Islam, that unshakable iman that we talk about, which Islam wants, unshakable iman. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. The people of iman are those, they have intense, fiery love for Allah. What is it? Fiery love for Allah. مر جائے اللہ کے لئے. مسلمان مر جائے اللہ کے لئے. You die for Allah. You die for Allah. That is how much you love Him. You die for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how much you love him. And if you can't die for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is weakness in your iman. There is weakness in your iman. Iman to itna uncha hona chahiye. And you die for Muhammad sallallahu, you die for your deen. That is what is matloob. Because what is this dunya? If you don't die anyway, you are going to die anyway. You are going to die. Marna to hai na mere azizu. To Allah tawfiq de, alhamdulillah, deen mazboot ho mera aur aapka. Your name has to be right. Your character has to be right. How you speak can have an impact. Subhanallah, how you are. The school you are going to can change you. Your education can change you. Your workplace can change you. Your friends can change you. Until you are alive, there are so many things that the shaitan is telling you that try to compromise with your deen. Now this lady, bichari, she is saying Merry Christmas to everyone. Maybe she did not, Allah knows best. Allah knows best what is the situation. But Mufti Saab, when I was listening to what he said, this was a live, you know, conversation, discussion. He said, when she said this, I remembered an ayat of the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And these are the people that Allah has nullified their good deeds in dunya and akhirah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And in the hereafter, they are amongst the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So why is it that as Muslims, we talked about loyalty, the three groups of people that are the most important components in any society, the Maulvi, the scholar, the soldier, and the... No, not Maimans, businessman. Aap log hamari community ko kharab mat karo, bhai. Did you guys say Maimans? No, bhai. Achhe log hai bichare, Maiman log to yaar. Kya yaar? Ki hum... Sahih hai. Toh, mashallah. So anybody who is a businessman, anyone who is a, any Muslim man who is a businessman. Three people are so important. And if you want to settle in a country, this is what you look at. Three people, three categories of people. And the two are not as important as the first one. Maybe the other two, if it's not there, you know, your life is under threat or whatever. But your iman has to be protected. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, close to the day of Qiyamah, iman will return back to Medina Munawwara, like how a snake will return back to its hole. Subhanallah. Ajib. And this is the khasiyat of a snake. Why? Otherwise this hadith takes a lot of tashrih. But, and this will be, of course, we are talking about the times when Imam Mahdi will come and he will be a Madani and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is going to come. Who is going to come? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And just a bit of history so our brothers benefit. See, we don't celebrate Christmas because we love Isa alayhi salam. Now imagine, Idris, what is your father's name? Dawood, bhai. I'm just going to give an example. If somebody was to say, Idris is the son of Ibrahim bhai. Right? This is a gali to him, isn't it? Is he going to say that, no, Ibrahim bhai is my father, when in reality the biological father is who? Indirectly you are actually swearing at someone, aren't you? You are saying that, you know, you are the son of that person and not the son of your real father. It's a swear word. Imagine the difficulty of this noble Nabi on the day of Qiyamah, the pain that he is going through. That when he came in this dunya as the last Nabi of Banu Israel. And I have written that down so that people can understand. When I say he is the last Nabi, what does it mean? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had how many wives? Huh? Bolo? Two. And how many wives do you have? All of you, how many wives do you have? Haat ucha karo ek biwi wale sab. How many wives do you have? Haat ucha karo bhai. Huh? MashaAllah, everyone wife, one wife. And how many of you dream for a second wife? Haat ucha karo. Look at you. Hey, MashaAllah. He's the only sincere one. Everybody only dreams, eh? Chalo yaar, we'll stop there. Sapne dekhte raho. Dream about it, my friend. That's all you can do anyway. Start dreaming. Subhanallah. But Ibrahim alayhi salam had two, Sarah and Hajar. From Hajar was born Hazrat Ismail. And in that line of Ismail, there was no other Nabi except for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand this. I'm talking about, you know, why we don't say Merry Christmas. You know, the difficulty, the pain, the blasphemy. You know, the swearing that you are giving to this noble Nabi of Allah, calling him al-iyazu billah, had you called him the son of Joseph the carpenter, or had you called him the son of another human being, that would still be wrong anyway. But Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, look at the mockery, the masti that shaitan does with Banu Adam, the sons of Adam alayhi salam. That he wants to, I won't even use the words, and he's directing this relationship straight to who? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What level of shirk? What level of shirk? Think about it. And Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, all the messengers will be there. All the messengers. And there will be millions and millions of Christians that will be there. And they will be running to Jesus, you know, running to Him. Jibreel alayhi salam, the malaika, and Isa alayhi salam will be standing there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will directly confront him. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلُ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ قَالُوا لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O Isa, did you say to your flock, to your people, that they should take you to be God, and that they should worship you and leave Allah? Subhanak. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, where will he get the courage of saying and answering to Allah? The only thing he will say, Subhanak, Subhanak, Allah, all praises to you, Ya Allah. Could I have said that? Could I have? If I ever said that, Ya Allah, you know what is in my heart, you know what is on my tongue, I've never said that. I've never said that. And so, as Muslims, we love Isa alayhi salam. And this is all a pack of lies. This entire system of Christmas is a pack of lies. And Islam has got nothing to do with lies. But anyway, another wife, Sarah. And it's good information for people to know. The Jewish community and the Jewish prophets, how many were there in that line that lived in the zone of Masjid-e-Aqsa and Quds, in that zone. And where the Arabs migrated, well, Ismail alayhi salam migrated in towards Arabia, and that is where he was settled. No Nabi came after him. Now, after Sarah, from her stomach, how many prophets? Count. Number one, Ishaq alayhi salam. Then Yaqub alayhi salam. Then Yusuf alayhi salam. Then Ayyub alayhi salam. Then Ayyub. Then Yunus alayhi salam. Then Musa alayhi salam. Then Harun alayhi salam. Then Ilyas. Then Al-Yasa. Then Dawood. Then Suleiman. Then Zakaria. Then Yahya. And then Isa. The last, as Huzur alayhi salam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, that he is the last of all the prophets. Isa alayhi salam is the last of the Banu Israel line. So many prophets came in the line of, these are all the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam and cousins in a way. And Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, in his line there was only one very unique, very elite. The greatest Nabi was to be born, and whose name is what? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is amazing, our scholars have mentioned, if Musa alayhi salam split the ocean, Allah's Nabi split the moon. If Musa alayhi salam split the ocean, my Nabi split the moon. If Musa alayhi salam with his stick hit the rock and the fountains, 12 fountains opened up for Banu Israel, my Nabi, mashallah, from his fingers, water was gushing out. If Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was handsome, then there was no one more handsome than our Nabi. Subhanallah al-Azim. Sulaiman alayhi salam, under him were the jinns. Then under our Nabi were the malaika. What was it? Jinns were with him. Allah's Nabi had jinns and the malaika. Subhanallah al-Azim. And if Isa alayhi salam would give life to the dead, then our Nabi until the day of Qiyamah is giving life to dead hearts. To dead hearts. And that is the power of the Quran. So we see here this connection between Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But again, this entire system is running on a pack of lies. Is running on a pack of lies. So very quickly, I won't take much of your time. Aapko sirf samjhane ke liye. They say that he was born on the 25th of December. He was not even born on the 25th of December. And there is proof of this in the biblical text and also in the Quranic text. The biblical text, you know, you have the four gospels. One of the gospel is called Luke. Luke. And funny enough, Luke was a physician who has never seen Jesus anyway. He was influenced by Paul. But anyway, chapter 2 verse 8, he says that the time when Jesus was born, how was the season? That the shepherds would take their animals, their sheep, up in the mountains in the night and stay there. And it is unanimously agreed that the shepherds could have only done this not at the winter season. Because the last day that the shepherds would go up in the mountains with their animals in the night was the 15th of October. And they are saying that Jesus was born when? 25th. A bit of history we should also know. And the Quran is also telling us something, that when Maryam alayhi salam, in Masjid-e-Aqsa, that is where her residence was. She lived there. When she was giving birth to Isa alayhi salam, the Quran says, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْعِ النَّخْلَ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Shake the trunk of the date tree, the palm tree, the date tree, and upon you will fall fresh ripe dates. They will drop on you fresh ripe dates. Rutaban janiya. The ulama say that fresh paki hui ripe dates was never found in December. You don't find it in December. So Isa alayhi salatu was salam was never born also on the 25th of December. Ye aankhon mein patti laga rahe. And then I want to also read in front of you an article written by this man whose name is Herbert W. Armstrong. A very good article, The Plain Truth About Christmas. He writes an article and he says the first people who actually celebrated Christmas was the Catholic Church. What was it? Catholic. The Catholic Church. But where did they get this from? The pagans, the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, whoever they were, the pagans. And this came about in Christianity 400 years after Jesus. How many? 400 years after Jesus. And then the Encyclopedia Britannica 1946 edition clearly says that this was not instituted by Jesus or his apostles, and it is not even written in the Injil. So you see, Christmas has got nothing to do with even the Christians then themselves. So now inshallah, very quickly just to conclude, how did this start? It's quite amazing and it's important for us to know. That is why alhamdulillah, for so many centuries, you will find that the Muslim and the ulama are very quick and they will write books immediately and they will issue a fatwa on you if you do something wrong, and they might even say this is bid'ah or this is haram or what you are doing is kufr and this is shirk. Why? In order to protect the sunnah. In order to protect the sunnah. The previous communities and their leaders could not do this. But this ulama, this Alhamdulillah, Ummah has been doing this now from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did Christmas come about? It actually goes all the way back to Egypt. It goes back to Egypt. Centuries before Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born. Imagine centuries before he was born. In Egypt, there was a celebration that was titled as the Mother of the Heavens. The Mother of the Heavens. A festival that was celebrated for one of their goddesses. One of their goddesses. And it was known as the Mother of the Heavens. In Egypt, the Mother of the Heavens, this festival was celebrated on the 25th of December. The Mother of the Heavens. Then what happened? The Romans conquered Egypt. What did they do? The Romans conquered Egypt. When the Romans conquered Egypt, they were also influenced by this festival that the Egyptians, local Egyptians, were celebrating on the 25th of December. So wherever the Roman Empire was, they also started celebrating on the 25th of December. They started celebrating. And then, lo behold, what happened? Allah ki kudrat to dekhe. Constantine accepted Christianity. He was the first person that became a Christian. And then him becoming a Christian meant that the Roman Empire became also a Christian. When he became a Christian, he started to Christianize even the pagan festival. He Christianized the pagan festival. Now, when the Roman Empire took this from Egypt, back to where they were, in their empire, they were celebrating. Then what happened, all of a sudden, from paganism to this new religion, Isa alayhi salam, and they became Christians, he became a Christian. Now what had happened? They were in the habit, you see, a Muslim is not a chameleon, a Muslim is not a chameleon. A chameleon changes his color everywhere. Because I want to make everyone happy. When you make everyone happy, you are a munafiq. What are you? You are a hypocrite. So what they did is that now they said, how and what should we do? You know, we can't leave 25th of December because this is a very important celebration of ours. And then the Christians, you know, we have to show some kind of akida and belief that we also have love for Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. And you close your eyes and say, okay, you know what, 25th of December, Jesus was born. Who was born? Jesus was born. And you merge that Egyptian pagan festival of the goddesses that they were celebrating, and they take it all the way back to their capital. And when they become Christians, they merge that with the Christian festivity and celebration, that rather than celebrating in any other month, we will become united. And that is why everything that you see on this day is all about shirk and nothing but shirk. So a very important lesson that we learn, my respected brothers and elders, hold on to your deen. What is it? Hold on to your deen, mashallah. Be proud of wearing a topi. You know, whenever you get an opportunity, wear a topi. Alhamdulillah. This, don't talk about whether this topi is a sunnah or whether this topi is this and that. If it was not a sunnah, then why are they selling in Madina Munawara? Huh? Why are they selling in Madina Munawara? Why are the imams of harams, you know, when they wear that red scarf, they've got a topi? And in the hadith it comes anyway that Allah's Nabi would wear an amama on a kalansua. So forget all that. Your topi and your good Islamic traditions value it. Assalamu alaikum. Kissing your father's hand, mother's hands, respecting your elders. These are good adab, saying salam to one another. Wearing your kurta, your beard, mashallah. And, you know, inviting our mothers and sisters that look, dress up in decency. Mashallah, become good individuals, taking care of our children. And we should now be thinking to educate our children in home education. What is it? Home education. Because if everybody cannot afford it, then if there are people who are going to be doing qurbani, that there is one or two female teachers that they can teach certain subjects, then mashallah, a few 5, 6, 7, 8 Muslim children can go to somebody's house where this Muslim lady is teaching our daughters, and she is fulfilling and completing the curriculum. This will be a better option for us. Because where we are losing our children is in the way the curriculum is set. Where how the curriculum is set. Islamic schools are very good, alhamdulillah, but then they are also, you know, sometimes they can see the knife hanging on top of them also. So as parents, we have to safeguard, subhanallah. And as children that are as young as 6 and 5, they are being taught about things that we can't even imagine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, this is the kind of the risk factor, unfortunately, when you are a minority. When you are a minority. And the minority have to work very hard to safeguard their iman. And anything that is part of deen, mashallah, hold on to it. And remember, never argue with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never argue. Always surrender and listen, alhamdulillah, and practice your deen. There is only sukoon in your deen. There is no sukoon anywhere else. Wallahi lazeem, let me sign it for you. There is no sukoon anywhere. There is only sukoon in your Islam. And if you want sukoon, the more you practice Islam, the more inshallah it will be good for you. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, brothers, also in our next week's session, please come. And mashallah, invite other people also to come. Invite other people also to come. You know, mashallah, I like this policy with the Tabligh Jamaat people. You know, they are always working very hard. What are they? Are you coming? 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 They, you know, they amongst themselves, you know, they're always working that way. It would be nice also if they would come to the ulama's majlis. You know, that would be also better. Only a few come, but chalo, that is their way of thinking. Wallahu alam. But mashallah, if brothers also do this, imagine the reward you will have. Imagine that you are doing fikr of your community. Are you going to come? Shall I pick you up? Are you going to come? Are you going to come? This constant fikr we have. My car must not come empty. I'm going to get 4 people, 5 people. You know what? We want to see this masjid full. And mashallah, this will change our community. This will change. But the problem is, we are lazy. We are lazy. And laziness ka kya hai? Kuch bhi nahi hoga. Maine itne bayan kiye, you know, about politics. Sab thande ho gaye. Main bhi thanda ho gaya. Maine kaha chalo yaar tel lene jaye. Main kya karu? What if people don't want to wake up? What do you want me to do? I can only spark up and talk that by, you know, people have to do this, but people are they awake? Nothing. Yay, now the local elections are going to come very, very soon. The other communities are all ready. The Muslim community, bas. This is who we are. Coca-Cola. Who are we? Coca-Cola. Only at the time. When it comes, yes, we are Tyson. What are we? Very tough. At the time. Then when we go to sleep, we go to sleep. Even when somebody is saying, by Alhamdulillah, illadhi ahyana, saying, not now. Abhi nahi. Abhi 5 minutes hai. So, this ummah has to wake up. So please invite others. Make it a mission that with me, 5 people are going to come. And continue this. Inshallah, you will get the sawab. If somebody will benefit, you will get the sawab. Allah give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين